rain or shine. Louis pulled off the greatest camping trip ever in the history of men's camping trips at New Home. Thank you, Louis, for your diligence and perseverance. Thank you, Jay, for hanging in there with us. Jay laughed at us a lot. And just to let y'all know, I won't be retiring. There's gold. I'm thankful my trust is not in that. All right, jokes aside, good morning. Just thought I'd share with y'all a little bit of our experience this weekend. It was a good time. Look forward to doing it again. Louis, just hang in there. All right, weather cooperate one day. Anyhow, all right, to the word. Hey, last week we rejoiced we have a great high priest. He's able to sympathize with us in every way, yet without sin. He's passed through the heavens. He's reached the heaven of heavens. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, making petitions for us. He has tore the veil. We can come into the presence of God. We can enter the most holy place and make our petitions known. We can find grace, mercy, approach the throne of mercy to find grace to help in a time of need. All right, so we rejoiced in that last week. Today we will continue that same course of reasoning. We're still tracking through Jesus being the great high priest. I titled this one, The Perfect High Priest, The Great High Priest Part 2. You're going to hear a lot of the same things, but it is what Paul is driving home here in the beginning part of Hebrews chapter 5. The introduction actually began in chapter 4 there that we preached last week, and so just continuing again to build upon that truth. We'll continue that course of reasoning, celebrating the superiority of Christ and providing eternal salvation. Remember, the letter is written to Hebrew believers who would have been very familiar with the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, and how they made sacrifices and atonement for sins year after year. Really daily offerings were given. And so Paul's heart here is to communicate that we now have been given entrance into the throne of mercy. No longer is there a dividing wall. You'll recall some of your biblical history. It is that only the high priest could enter into the most holy place. Jesus tore the veil. We ourselves can now go. He was superior in that he provided an eternal salvation by being a sacrifice, not for his sins, not for his. He was perfect, but for the sins of his people. This is the very thing that makes him the perfect high priest. The Aaronic priesthood was a shadow of something greater to come. When I say Aaronic, Aaron, y'all knew that. Okay. So Aaron, Moses' brother, was appointed to be the high priest. We're going to see that in Leviticus. I'm not going to read the first 9 chapters of Leviticus to you today. You would all be ready to go home. But you can go read that. Aaron was consecrated. He was set apart for the service of a priest. He spoke to God on behalf of people and spoke to the people on behalf of God. He served as a high priest, taking care of the temple before the temple even. Aaron was installed to be a high priest. He wore the ephod and the breastplate that held the Urim and Thummim that I talked about last week, right? He did all the roles of a high priest. I'm turning into a lesson. I don't want it to be that, okay? The Aaronic, if I say Aaronic, y'all just know I'm talking about Aaron, Moses' brother. Aaronic priesthood was a shadow of the greater in that he had to atone for his sins before offering sacrifices on behalf of Israel. These priests by nature were sinners and in need of a Savior, just like you and I. Now, as we approach Hebrews chapter 5, these first 11 verses, I want to remind us the role of a high priest. You'll hear all this again today. The role of a high priest carried was this. He was to offer sacrifices for atonement. So he served as making an atonement for the sins of the people. He was to teach God's law. He was to discern God's will. That was that effort with the Urim and Thummim that I was talking about. He was to intercede for the nation through prayer. He was to guard the sanctuary. Remember, Jesus is the door. And to anoint and appoint kings and rulers and authorities. Christ does this supremely. We're going to study that today in Hebrews chapter 5. So I want to ask you, if you're able, please stand with me in the honor and reverence of reading God's word. I'll actually begin in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, so we can catch that momentum right on into chapter 5. Scripture says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever of the order after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. In being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. God, in this moment, I ask that you would use me as a potter uses clay. Father, this is it's overwhelming to think of the responsibility that I have to honor you in this moment. I can understand that. Scripture saying that man doesn't necessarily choose this, but he is appointed by God. But I feel the gravity in this text. I feel the weight. I ask that you use me now to glorify your name. Lord, we pray that you would help us to lean in and to trust in Christ alone. For their hope in him alone. For he is the perfect high priest. Suffered on my behalf. He was sinless, and yet he was crushed for my iniquities. Bore my sins. Lord, he truly carried him away, and I thank you for that. I pray that today you would be magnified amongst us as we seek to understand your word. As we drink in the goodness of the salvation that was bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, again, help us to hope in nothing else but our great high priest who has made an atonement for our sins once and for all. Lord, direct our study, direct our hearts, draw us closer to you. Lord, bring salvation, bring the heart of the wayward and the ignorant to realize that Christ served to redeem all. who would obey him, who would trust in him, who would follow after him. To the praise of your glory and praise of your matchless grace, we worship you today. Amen. Beautiful text. Right out of the gate, Paul reveals to us that the Aaronic priesthood was and is insufficient for our sins. Nothing shy of Jesus Christ himself can atone for our sins. Nothing can offer a worthy sacrifice. It's insufficient. The Levitical priesthood, the fragile Levitical priesthood, as we called it last week, fractured Levitical priesthood, insufficient. They were consecrated and set apart by God from among men to serve on behalf, but they were a foreshadowing. We can read it in Exodus 29, verses 1 through 9, as a display of such a ceremony. It says, "Now this is what you shall do to consecrate them," who? "The priests, that they may serve me as priests. Take one bull of the herd and two rams without a blemish and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers smeared with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket and bring the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put a holy crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them. And you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. And the priesthood shall be theirs as a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. They're set apart by God to serve God on behalf of man, making the atonements, the sacrifices, bringing the offerings, caring for the temple ultimately, guarding the temple, appointing kings, all the things that we looked at. They themselves offer gifts and sacrifices for the sins of the people. In Leviticus chapters 1 through 9, that's where I told you I wasn't going to read it to you. You have all a whole system of offerings and sacrifices prescribed by God that are executed by these priests. Different types of offerings. Grain offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, sacrifices, blood smeared on the altar. All of these things, the priests served in that capacity, doing them day in, day out. Once a year, especially on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the people. Only once a year. And he himself had to prepare for this day. He had to wash again and again. He had to purify his heart. He had to get ready to carry the sins of the people into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and make atonement for their sins. Now, a good high priest was sympathetic with all that he represented. With the ignorant, as Paul says, right, he formerly acted ignorantly in unbelief when he talks about being the chief among sinners and that he received mercy so that he may show the grace of God to others. So in that context, a good high priest was sympathetic with them, those who didn't know, but yet sought help. He was sympathetic with the wayward, or at least he should have been, those who had wandered away like a prodigal son. They were to present the offering to the Lord on behalf of the offerer. They served as a mediator, if you will. They went between man and God, presenting sacrifices and offerings, but yet they themselves also had to offer sacrifices for their own sins. They were beset with weakness, just as the scripture says, given over to their sin nature. We can read this in Psalm 53, 1 through 3. We know it from Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're familiar with that. It's quoted from Psalm 53 that says this: "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing an abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not even one. Now we look at the Pharisees and go, he's talking about them. The high priest, they were beset with weakness. They had to make sacrifices for their sins. Oh, but hold on. So are you. So are you. You're desperately inadequate to save yourselves. You're in iniquity. You have a negative account of righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But Jesus came and said, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they answer me. So we have this picture of high priests served on behalf of men. Yet they were beset with weakness. And they had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins, just as the priest does on behalf of the people. He's consecrated by God. He's set apart by God, yet flawed. The priest served as only a shadow of the things that were to come. Christ, however, was divinely appointed as the great high priest. We see it right here. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. It's an old kingly psalm, but it speaks about, we understand it to be messianic. And the being begotten is that he is exalted by the Father who sent him, Christ being the Son of God. Christ himself in John 3:14 spoke or foretold his exaltation. Here's what he said. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus knew it. We're going to look in a moment at Isaiah 53. We'll see that the word of the Lord was already foretold that he would be exalted. In the fact that he would be lifted up, he would be pierced for our transgressions. He would bear the iniquities of us all. Christ is a priest forever, as the scripture teaches us. He's out of the order of Melchizedek, the priest who has no end, we'll look at in Hebrews chapter 7. This priestly sonnet, as it were, the song of him being the priest, this praise of him being the priest, continues again in chapter 7. He came in the flesh. We see it right here in Scripture in verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications. So the priest, the high priest, the Aaronic priesthood, offered up gifts and sacrifices. As Jesus was in his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications. He came in the flesh, meaning he had a nature like ours, but remember last week, without sin. Without sin. This is the qualifier that makes Jesus the great high priest, the perfect high priest. He offered those prayers and supplications while he was in his flesh on behalf of his sheep. I want you to hear the Savior pray for you. Right out of Scripture. It's John chapter 17. Many Bibles, mine included, title it the High Priestly Prayer. It was his prayer as the high priest making petitions to God on behalf of his people. Here's what I want to tell you today. If you're in Christ Jesus, this prayer is for you. If you're not in Christ Jesus, I pray you would hear the call of this prayer. Because he'll say not only all of these, but those who will believe by the declaring of their word. Today that may be you. Today the Lord may call you unto himself. And today I would beg you to respond accordingly. Come unto Jesus. Trust in God. Believe in his word. Here's what the Son said, Jesus, the Son of God, right before he was arrested, ultimately tried and crucified, dead, buried, resurrected. Just before all these events took place, here's what he had to say. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. You listening? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the Son, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence for the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. This is salvation. I am praying for them, those who know that you have sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not. I'm praying for the world. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I'm glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you and have these things I speak you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. This is your high priest pleading with God on your behalf, that he would be kept, that God would keep you from the evil one. That is falling into the temptations of the devil. That's denying the Son. That's reaping a life of condemnation and storing up wrath for you or yourself on the day of judgment. Christ says, they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in the truth. Here it is for the wayward and the ignorant, the lost, the hapless and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. Listen to what the great high priest, Jesus Christ, prays. I do not ask for these only, the ones in his presence, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's a call. You hear that? Christ said, I'm not praying for the whole world. I'm praying for these that you've given me. Not only these that are in my presence, but those who will believe by the proclamation of their word, the delivery of their word. That is those of you who are here today, who are lost in your sin, who are desperately wicked, who are sick and need a Savior, who are dead in their trespasses and sin. Jesus has prayed for you that by the declaration of this word, the reading of this word, the Spirit of God would pierce your heart, the gospel would take a hold, and you would believe in the name of the Son of God. Just believe that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Our great and perfect high priest pled with the Father in heaven that you would come to faith, that you would be saved from your sins. You'll be saved from the righteous judgment of God because you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You see that in John chapter 17? This is what a priest does to serve. Christ is the perfect high priest. He's the perfect one. Why? He's the culmination of the sacrificial system. David said it, the blood of bulls and goats you have not desired, but a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. Are you broken? He don't turn you away. Jesus said, all who come to me, I'll in no way cast out.
Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Why do you wallow in your sins and in your difficulties and your struggles? Bring them to Christ. Give them to him and put his yoke upon your shoulders. Stop living in slavery to lawlessness and unrighteousness and become a slave to righteousness. Well, serve God is what I'm asking you to do. He's a good taskmaster. When you're a slave of righteousness, it's not wicked. It's not a yoke you can't bear. It's a yoke that is carried for you by the shoulders of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness imparted to you, not your own. I don't stand up here because I washed myself, cleaned myself. I didn't go through any ceremony to get in the door. No, Jesus washed me. And his blood will wash you. He's the great high priest. Don't bring a goat or a grain offering or even your financial tithes in an expectation to purchase your salvation. That debt's been paid. You do all the other because you want to honor God. You owe it to him. Why? Because you recognize what the wonderful gift is. Next week we'll talk about those who have tasted and seen the matchless love of Christ and have turned away. It's impossible for them to be restored. Why? They never were there. They didn't taste and they didn't drink it in. Now, that's next week's sermon. I don't want to get there. But listen, Christ is the high priest. He's taking us into the throne room of God that we may find mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. Are you in need? Are you heavy laden, then come to him, find mercy and grace. Trust in Jesus. He's the culmination of the sacrificial system. He prayed to the one who was able to save him from death, and though he was heard, it still pleased the Lord to crush him. Wow, what? You see that? He prayed to the one who was able to deliver him from death. He was heard because of his reference. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Let me translate that. Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to crush him. He learned obedience the same as he became obedient. The same as he humbled himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. People ask, did he learn anything? No, he didn't learn anything. He was a son of God. He's the omnipotent, omniscient glory of God, fully in the flesh. But what did he do? He humbled himself. Says it in Philippians 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God exalted him through crushing him and putting him on a tree. Exalted means lifted up. He was lifted up so that if you look upon him, you shall have eternal life. You'll be exalted in Christ Jesus. You'll be glorified in Christ Jesus. No, it doesn't belong to you. But it's given to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. A gift. The Son in his divinity did not lack knowledge. In his flesh, he was made perfect through suffering. The exaltation of Christ led to eternal salvation. I read to you John chapter 3, verse 14 earlier. I want to read the rest of that block of text, if you will. Here it is. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Pretty narrow gate, isn't it? Yeah, no priest made that. No priest was able to enter that but through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the one that was able to do it. He's the one that entered in. Why? Because he was the appointed sacrificial lamb of God. As we close thinking about this great high priest that is in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I want to read to you some of my favorite scripture. It's actually Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to begin in verse 2. I'm going to read that chapter to you, and I want you to hear what he did as the great high priest. I want you to hear every blow that was upon his back, every piercing of his side, every bit of blood that ran down the cross. It was spilt on behalf of your sins, your unrighteousness. How dare you reject the Son of God? You walk out of here today not trusting in Jesus, not believing upon him, then you are condemned already. And God's judgment is just. And blood's not on my head because I've told you. Scripture says that he'll put a watchman on the watchtower to declare when the enemy is coming. And if the watchman doesn't declare that the enemy is coming and the enemy comes, then the blood of those who dies is on the head of the watchman. God's appointed me as a watchman for this season at New Home Baptist Church. I'm standing on the tower right now telling you, repent, turn from your wicked ways, for there is a judgment that is coming. If you say, I hear you, I don't care, guess what? I'm in the clear. I'm sorry for you. My heart breaks. Right? Because if I believe that Jesus saves, I believe that God also judges. And when I read Scripture, the person that stands judged is not knowing Christ, is in a bad state of affairs, just to be real honest. But God provided his Son as a great high priest for you so that faith, by faith in him, you may become the righteousness of God. Isaiah 53 says this, for he grew up like a young plant before him, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and is one from whom the men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet, you hear the innocence thus far? We don't see anything here that condemns Christ. Even before his shears, like a sheep, he's silent. Why? He came to accomplish all that the Lord sent him to do. Verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. What a high priest. This high priest didn't go into the Holy of Holies and kill a calf. This great high priest entered into the Holy of Holies and offered himself sacrifice on behalf of his people. He's a great shepherd. Won't you be his sheep? Out of the anguish of his soul, I'm sorry, jumped down a little bit. He makes an offering. For guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Don't you want a high priest that's interceding for you before the throne of God? Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Just as Paul instructed these Hebrew believers, there's no high priest that can help you apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great, perfect high priest. Come to him. He's already made the sacrifice. trust in Jesus. Lord, help us today to know your will, to hear your voice, and to respond accordingly. You have provided a high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is seated at the right hand of God, making intercessions for sinners just like me. The scripture says that all who come to him, he will in no way cast out. Father, if there's one here that hasn't never came to Christ, no sheep that has ever come before the shepherd to receive mercy and grace to help in their greatest time of need, the day of salvation is today for those who don't know you. Would you draw them? God, would you move them to trust in you? Would you give them the strength to declare Jesus as the Son of God? Would they respond accordingly to the praise of your glory? In honor of your matchless grace, we say, amen.